On Friday, I went to a presentation down at St. Bronislava in Plover, and I was reminded of how sometimes easier to teach than it is to be a student and listen. It was a 9:30 until 5 o'clock day, and very worthwhile about how to revitalize your parish. And anyway, I picked up Father Bill Grivach. He's a longtime pastor on the east side. He used to run St. Michael's and Resurrection, so I picked him up and gave him a ride there and back. And he no sooner got in the car, and he was telling me about the greatest blessing of his priesthood was when the bishop sent him to the east side of Wausau and not to the west side. He kept on talking, but I didn't hear anything after that. That was just the... But the idea, of course, is how to grow your parish, how to be more vibrant, how to serve God and this whole community. If we really live our faith, that's a conduit of grace, of joy, of peace. I mean, if we're truly Christians, followers of Jesus, that's a blessing for the whole world. We believe that in our heart. And the typical way that you become more vibrant, the way people become Catholic, is by believing, and then, of course, behaving, and finally by belonging. A lot of people, for example, they'll make inquiry, like, well, what do Catholics believe? They take classes, they call it the Order of Christian Initiation of Adults, and after you've listened for a while, why do Catholics believe these things? Where does it come from? Do you just make it up, or is it revealed? Is it in the Scripture? After we start to believe, then we are taught how to behave. What do Catholics do? At Mass, for example, we stand, we sit, we kneel, we move a lot to keep you awake, and so we teach you these things and how to go to confession. That's not an easy thing, and it does make people cry, it's true, but after believing and behaving, then we decide if we want to belong or not. That's a typical approach, right? So some aren't ready to belong just yet, but that's okay. Typically, you come into the church the night before Easter. It doesn't always work out that way, though, actually. I have a friend that his wife is Catholic, and he joined the parish softball team. And, you know, mostly they talk about sports and hunting, I suppose. But once in a while, the faith would come up, and he really enjoyed being with those guys. And pretty soon he decided, you know, I want to understand what you believe. And so he became a Catholic. He felt that he belonged with these guys. He just had similar values, and he wanted to be a part of what they were doing, how they were living. Belonging can come first, and it's really important as human beings that we're born into this world. It's into a family. We have a deep desire to be part of something that's bigger than us, something that makes sense of who we are, where we came from, where we're going. We all want to belong. And when we were little, there's a kind of an innocence. A student of mine, that she loved all things Native American when she was little. She got a pony, and she was in these competitions. Ponies of America, it was called. And she had a name and a costume. She was called Morning Star, and she'd make a presentation about the Ho-Chunk Nation. At one point when she was little, she said when she grew up, she was going to become a Native American. Well, you can't exactly do that, right? But it was beautiful because, you know, when we're little, the things on the outside, we don't get all caught up with that. My goddaughter, one of them anyway, she is adopted from Ethiopia. Her parents are white, and when she came home one day from school, she was 7 or 8 years old, she said, Mom, when I get older, I'm going to have white babies. Well... That's probably not going to happen unless she adopts too, right? So the idea that life gets more complicated because of original sin as we get older. That's why the book of Exodus, which is a long time ago, 3,000 years ago, God is revealing to Moses about how to treat aliens. These aren't people from outer space. They're people from different countries, different cultures, different backgrounds. We're to love all of them. We're all made by the same God, cut from the same cloth. We might look a little different on the outside, but underneath, we're all God's children. We forget that, and sometimes we just have to go through some things so that we learn, we grow, we become more like Christ, the divine physician. I went to Tanzania just before I came to Holy Name in the summer of 2019. A really good experience. I was a minority there. One time I was by myself, and I could sense some hostility. I couldn't understand what they were saying, but they certainly weren't happy that I was there. I don't know if it was because my skin color or the Roman collar, but boy, that was a good experience to see that sometimes when you're different, people see you and they look at you and they make little judgments. We're just like when I was a kid growing up on the farm. All of nature was affected by sin. So if you go out to check for the eggs in the chicken coop, once in a while, there'd be a bloody chicken. The others had decided there was something different about that one, And if you didn't get it out of there, if you didn't rescue it, they would peck it to death. We can do that to each other. And God wants us to see each other not as aliens, as different, but as equal. Not the same, but even so. God is going to give us the grace. We are living in calamitous times, a lot of fear about what's happening in the Middle East. I was saying this week at one of the daily masses, I read this book called The Son of Hamas. And this guy, his dad, was one of the founders of that terrorist movement. And he belonged to it and he participated in the terrible things they were doing until he got caught, went to jail. And somebody, when he was in prison, handed him a copy of the New Testament. He read the gospel specifically, and he realized if we don't learn to forgive from the heart, this will never end. He was baptized, became a Christian, as a pseudonym now, lives in the United States. The way out is the way of our Lord, is the way of seeing people as he sees us. The goodness in us, the capacity to grow, to become holy. He also knows our brokenness. He knows that we can turn against each other. The commandments are simple. If we learn to love God, which is learning to let him love us, then we can see others as God sees us. There was Northern Ireland when I was a kid, the Protestants and the Catholics, all Christians, right? There were a lot of terrorism and violence and killing. They started what was called the Ulster Project. They brought these kids to Utah. A friend of mine grew up there, and he remembers the Protestants and the Catholic kids would be brought to this place, and they were to spend time together, get to know each other. And guess what? When they did, they recognized, what are we fighting? Why? I'm hurting my brother, my sister. These are God's children, and so am I. Now, we're all human. We all struggle with this. I had a wedding at the cathedral a couple weeks ago, and I had to go early because I had to do the rehearsal. Their pastor had a wedding in a different church. So anyway, there were a couple of young people came in, and they were all like, you know, a lot of piercing and colored hair and tattoos and everything. And, you know, sometimes you make, you know, little snap judgments. I'm human too. But watching them when they walk into the church, and if you've never seen the cathedral, it's the last Gothic building of its type, built in 1960. And these two young kids are probably in their 20s. They're looking up with awe and wonder. And I walk over and say, your first time here? Yeah. What do you think? It's beautiful. I said, I hope you feel welcomed here. I hope you feel wanted here. Come back anytime. But we're having a wedding rehearsal right now, so please leave. Anyway, but to feel that we belong, that we're wanted, if we didn't show up next Sunday, that somebody would miss us. Say, where were you? Are you okay? Are you sick? Is there something going on? I hope that when people come here, they feel that they're wanted, that we belong. Every single person does because God made us. He wants us. We exist because he didn't want to spend eternity without us. And the belonging oftentimes comes first, and then the believing, and finally the behaving. We change because people see something in us. They love us. They make us want to be a better person, a better version of ourselves. This is what our Lord does for us. It's how he heals us and helps us. He changes us, not against our will, but his grace perfects us, sanctifies us. How do you make your parish more vibrant? Well, first you should, you know, come to the west side of Wausau. I think that's what, anyway, that's unsolicited advice. But how to make your parish more vibrant? Well, when I was at that wedding, a lot of my former students were there. And I've told you about my friend Sarah Kerrigan. She was a student of mine. She died of Hodgkin's lymphoma just after she graduated in 2006. And they were telling me that the pastor had the funeral, but I did the committal service at the cemetery. And they remembered, they said, Father, we'll never forget how you cried. And I did. I mean, I spent every day of her senior year at the hospital visiting Sarah. And that's how people are moved. That's how they're touched. It's when we're vulnerable, when we share our story. How did you get here? It was a long, crooked journey. I made a lot of missteps. I fell a lot of times to sadness and sin. But I'm here because God wanted me. He forgave me. He has shown me a different way, a better way, a holy way. I'm here because I feel like I belong. And that gives me a reason to believe and to behave as a Christian, to follow him all the days of my life.